We are stoned, and that's okay. So why don't you just stay? Sit back and listen. You don't know what you're missing. It's Talking Stoned While Getting Sports.
Welcome, fellow humans. You are listening to Talking Stoned While Getting Sports, episode 155. My name is Speedy Morgan, and on the other line is Mr. Austin. How the fuck is it going, buddy?
Yeah, it's going good. I just wish that the listeners could hear the behind the scenes of how these episodes come to be. But anyway, yeah, I'm doing good. It's the weekend once again. It keeps happening every week. It's
weird.
Yeah,
it never stops.
So that's cool. And yeah, haven't really been up to a whole lot. How about yourself?
Well, I got some things to talk about. I'm overly hyper right now. I don't know why, for one.
Okay.
So we got that to deal with.
Yeah. So,
but secondly, yesterday I got two brand new brand new tires on my car because I was basically racing on racing slicks, it seemed like. There's no tread left, and one had a hole in it. So I was like, well, might as well get them changed out. And I also got my locking lug nuts taken off because those are dumb as fuck.
Yeah, they're a pain in the ass.
Especially when the tool gets stolen from you and you can't physically take your tires off your car.
Yeah, that'd be a bit of a piss off.
Because I have a nice spare that I could have tossed on to help get me through the week instead of trying to patch my stupid tires while they're still on my car. Wasn't the easiest task I've ever done. But anyways, basically $700 later, that's all taken care of. And now, hopefully in the next month or two, I'm planning on doing the back two plus a wheel alignment, so that'll be another $700 later. So,
isn't having a car great?
It's fantastic. Although, to be fair, the previous tires I had on this car have been on there since 2019. So,
okay.
I mean, got some pretty good life out of them. So,
I would say so. Yeah, it's a little ridiculous.
So, yeah. What else have I been up to? Just work. Play some board games on Friday night. As of recording later today, I'll be playing beach dodgeball, and then later today, I'll be playing some slow pitch. So, in theme. And I'll be stoned for all those. So in theme of our podcast, I'm going to be doing more stoned and sports stuff. So
very nice. Keep it on brand. I like it.
Yeah, I think that basically covers it. We're almost at the 3-year mark. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Next episode. And we haven't planned a date. Hope everyone's excited for that.
Because the last time we planned anything, even I got bored.
What happened?
Because last we listed off 104 like at our 2-year mark, we did 104. I don't know. We just started listing. I don't know. We'll have to go back and listen. We don't even listen to our own episodes. So what does that tell you? I really don't want to list off 156 something rather. So if we're going to come up with anything.
Oh, we're gonna.
It better be better than that.
Nope.
Nope. All right.
That's all we got.
We'll list off 156 curling facts.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, we are the premier curling podcast, so that would make
That's
sense.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So we should be able to ramble those off no time at all.
No time.
Plugs?
Yeah. So follow us on TikTok at TSWGSPod. We got some talks out there. We got some comments, some interesting comments, and I don't care, whatever kind of comments. CFL is better, confirmed. Yeah, follow us there. Follow us on Instagram at TSWGSPod. Follow me on TikTok and Instagram at Fitzy Fitzgerald. Download, rate, review, comment. Please comment on our TikToks. I think it helps the algorithm.
Helps something, so they say.
It helps something. And yeah, I think you have some too.
Triple T's, TikTok, Twitter, Twitch. I don't really do much of anything on those, but it's Captain Morgan too, if you really want to get up in my biz.
I'll get up in your biz.
Was that good?
Yeah, it was all right.
Okay, perfect. CFL. Like usual, we have to go back just slightly. And because we always record prior to the last game of the previous week. So week four was BC versus Toronto. And this game, let's just say Vernon Adams Jr., who plays for BC, for anyone that doesn't know, had a very... When I say these stats, it's going to, you're going to go through some emotions. So he went 24 for 39. Solid. 388 yards.
Not bad. Not bad.
Three touchdowns.
Okay.
Six interceptions.
Holy good Christ.
Toronto, or BC, I mean, turned the ball over seven times. This game. Six of them from one guy.
Damn.
I think the other one, I believe, was a turnover on downs, if I remember correctly. Yeah, it appears to be, yes. Did I even see the score yet?
Don't think so.
Oh, BC, well, Toronto won 45-24. I almost said it the way you love it, but I decided not to. and no surprise to anyone, Toronto's 4 or 5 points were mostly off of turnovers. So right. It was supposed to be the big battle of the undefeated and stuff like this, and Toronto's no joke. They put 45 points up against a defense that in the previous two games only put up or let 6 in. So Toronto, yeah, they were all over BC, and I think Chad Kelly, he's starting to turn into more of a proper quarterback. I'm surprised by it. Yes, I knew he had the flashes during the Grey Cup and stuff, but I'm a I'll believe it when I see it type of guy. So, but he went 23 for 29, 249 yards, one touchdown, and zero picks. And yeah, that's all I really want to say about this game.
Okay.
Because I just want to get to present time, really, if I'm being honest.
That's fair. I just want you to know that there's a squirrel on my fence currently.
No one asked, but I'll allow it. if the squirrel wants to be a guest on our podcast, he's more than welcome to.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Well, I'm telling you to go ask him.
Nah.
Okay, well, slipping up a little bit here. We'll have to talk about that later. Maybe I'll hire the squirrel as a co-host.
I mean, hire as in you'll pay him, because I haven't gotten paid.
Yeah, that's right, awkward. Because he will actually bring something to the table.
Ooh.
Oh, shots fired. Speaking of shots, there's very little in the first week or first game in week five. It was the most boring football game that I've ever been to.
Yeah.
And the way I got there was the most painful way I've ever gone anywhere in my life. So for the longest time, I was really wondering if it was worth the trip, because I was crammed into the back of a Tiburon. For anyone that doesn't know, it's basically a, well, it's a sports car. It's very similar to like a Mustang in a way, but the sports car version of it. And it's not made to have a 280-pound man, adult, in the back seat. Even a child would struggle.
Yeah.
My spine was an S shape, and now I'm half broken because apparently as soon as you reach 30, your spine is not meant to go in an S shape. So
it's true.
But the Riders did squeak out to win this game. And I do mean squeak, because they should not have won this game. If they were playing against any other team other than the Edmonton Elks, they would have lost by 80. Okay, well, that's exaggerating, but they would have lost real bad. But they won 12-11. The only reason why they won, well, the Elks were up 11-3. And with about a minute left to go in the fourth quarter, the Riders scored a touchdown. And then they got the two-point conversion to tie 11-11. The kickoff happened. Edmonton Elks have some guy. I'm not sure if it's his first name. I might be able to find it here real quick. They have a guy, and his last name's Sims. I'm trying to find his first. CJ Sims. And he's used to American rules. In America, the rouge, the single point, is not a thing. But in the CFL, even on kickoffs, if the ball goes into the end zone and not taken out of that end zone, it's a single point. So he picked it up, and instead of just trying to get to the at least the 1 yard line, he knelt into the end zone, kneeled,
Knelt.
Oh, yes. I'm so fucking smart. Let's end the podcast right there. Everyone stay stoned and stay safe, because it's just going to go down from there, because I can't get any smarter.
That's true.
But anyways, the Sims guy gave the Riders the win. Edmonton looked like they were possibly driving it. Well, they were driving it down the field. Just still, because they still had a minute and four left on the clock, and they drove it down to the 50-yard line. So very close to field goal range, still a chance to win it. But then Tyler Cornelius threw interception. The only one he threw all game, he went 17 for 29, 226 yards, one TD, one interception. And that one interception was Nick Marshall, and it properly sealed the game. And I don't think I've heard a stadium cheer louder in quite some time, especially not in Regina, because that was quite the sigh of relief. And we're so, so lucky that we were playing against the Elks. Trevor Harris went 19 for 29, 289 yards, one touchdown, and one interception. Both offenses just, they can move the ball, but then as soon as they got into the red zone, stalled out and had to go for field goal attempts or throw interceptions or do whatever. And it's so boring. So boring. But as a Rider fan, I'll take the 2 points either way. This game, because I was busy playing board games and I forgot to set it to record, I did not watch it. So I'm just going to say the stats. And plus, we got some NHL stuff to get to. So, anyways, and I think Austin's still there. He's been very quiet. Maybe he's talking
to the squirrel. I might be here.
Did you befriend the squirrel?
Maybe.
Well, what's his name?
Geraldo.
Ooh, Spanish.
Nope.
Oh, shit. Wow. Football. Calgary went. Actually, I have no clue. Oh, yes. Calgary went to Winnipeg. And this Jake Mayer quarterback, I don't know. I think Calgary needs some help there. And it's weird me saying that, because Calgary, for like the past decade, if not longer, has a – wow, I can't speak. They've had a slew of great quarterbacks. But now Jake Mayer, he went 14 for 25, 122 yards, no touchdowns, one interception. It's when your quarterback does that. Yes, I know it was against Winnipeg's defense, but you got to do better, and he didn't, and they lost. So, but at the same time, Winnipeg, you know, they only got 24 points. They didn't light it up either. Although Zach Claros did go 20 for 28, 231 yards, two touchdowns with zero picks. But they've slowed down their offensive ways from the first 2 weeks when they were getting 40-plus points a game. So, oh, they're beautiful.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was probably loud. I apologize.
It's not too bad.
Yeah. And then the last game I can talk about, because the other game, which is, I should be ready on this, but Montreal at BC later today, which obviously I can't talk about, but
why not?
My opinion, I think BC is going to win that game. But the game I can talk about is Ottawa at Hamilton. Hamilton won 21-13. And this game has crazy up and downs, because Jeremiah Mazzulli, first game back in basically a year, he's supposed to be Ottawa's turnaround, and he ended up going down with a non-contact injury. First game back, first quarter, and whenever you see a non-contact, right away you think it's most likely ACL or something like that. And since he's coming off of an ACL injury, it doesn't look good. And it's, even though the game was in Hamilton, you could tell that the Hamilton fans felt for Mazzulli. And you never want to see a quarterback go down like that. Like, he went 6 for 10, 37 yards, one interception. So right there you can tell that he was not in the game for long. And it's most likely, I haven't heard the actual injury yet, but seems to be not a short-term injury once again. If it's another ACL, it's really hard to come back from a second tear.
That's pretty fucking rough.
And you just feel for the guy. Like, it was his first game back. Yeah, he just stepped wrong and down he goes. But next man up, so Dustin Crum. I don't mind that last name, if I'm being honest. He went 14 for 21, 149 yards. Although he did throw two picks and no interceptions, for thinking he wasn't going to get, because he's supposed to be Ottawa's third string quarterback, but Nick Arbuckle, supposed to be the backup, isn't 100%. So they went with Dustin Crum, and he did have one rushing touchdown. Well, he had six carries and 91 yards with one TD. So he can run the ball. So he's a dual threat quarterback. So that's not a terrible tool to have in your tool belt.
Enough tool talk, all right.
So yeah, I think that's, oh no, I didn't say that real quick. Matthew Schultz went 19 for 26, 233 yards, one touchdown, one interception. So both teams didn't play that great, but Ottawa's worse, so Hamilton won. There, that's my recap. Austin, you're up, my friend.
Do I have to be?
Yeah, because it's time to talk about your most favorite sport in probably the most exciting off-season situations.
Well, and it is my favorite sport that's played on ice.
Yes. Although, real quick, did you hear about that new show that's basically just UFC but on ice.
What?
It's hockey brawls competition.
What in the actual fuck?
Yeah, so like ex-goons are on this little rink or whatever, and they're just feeding each other. It's just hockey fights.
I can't help but feel like that's a bad idea.
Well, that's a thing. Anyways.
Sorry, I was just cleaning myself up there. I spilled about half a glass of water on me.
Oh, did you use Swiffer product like last episode?
No. No, I did not, because they decided not to sponsor the podcast anymore. Anyway.
You sound sad.
I am. All right. So, last episode, we had so many trades that we wanted to talk about that we couldn't get to free agency. And here we are. So, obviously, there's a lot of people signing contracts. We're not going to talk about every single one because that would be ridiculous.
No.
But
we'll save that for 3-year special.
No. So I have listed some of what I think are the more important signings, and I've kind of compiled a little list here. I got term, I got money, and I got the new team, the old team they're coming from. So I prepared a little bit for this episode.
I'll draw your zero a little bigger this week for you, bud.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
So right off the bat, we have Semyon Varlamov, goalie for the New York Islanders. He signed 4 years for $2.75 million. It is just a re-signing, but it is a decent term contract. The Islanders, I don't know what they're doing, man. They're giving out weird contracts because, like, they also gave Pierre Engvall 7 years at $3 million per season. The salary cap is going to go up and blah, 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 whatever. But, well, I mean, he's okay, but I don't think he deserves $21 million to play hockey. Like, he's okay. He's not, you know, I don't know. And so I'm not going to go through rapid fire all the signings like this, but I just wanted to mention all these because it's all the Islanders. So the Islanders also signed Ilya Sorokin, re-signed rather, their other starter, 8 years, $8.25 million. So they got their goaltenders locked up.
Yeah, they're set, apparently.
And Ilya Sorokin has been fantastic. He's really shown that he's the number one in this league. I don't know if New York is going for the... I guess they are, but they're not great. So, I mean, they got a good goalie, which is good. And that's one of the biggest parts of this game.
Good building block, that's for sure.
Oh, definitely. But I don't know. That Horvat contract, I think, is going to hurt them anyway.
Yeah. But if you have a good goalie, you definitely want to secure that.
Yeah, that's true. Moving on, we have JT Compher. So JT Compher was on a pretty cheap contract in Colorado, and he really made a name for himself, especially on that Stanley Cup ring, or that Stanley Cup run, rather. He's a great playoff performer. He can put up a few points. He'll, you know, get in the mess, get in the corners. Solid dude. 5 years, $5.1 million. He signs in Detroit. So goodbye, Colorado. Hello, Detroit. And it's funny because, you know, 15, 20 years ago, that would have been a lot bigger story. Because boy, did those teams hate each other.
Yes.
Holy
crap. At the site that I'm looking at, Detroit signed a bunch of players.
They did sign a bunch. I actually only, I think, have one of their signings on here, but there's probably been some signings since I'd made the list. Anyway, But yeah, I think he's a good signing. I don't know what Detroit's doing really, but I think they've definitely made some questionable moves. They signed Justin Hall to a decently termed, like, I think like $3 million a season, which he's a defenseman. He used to play for the Leafs. I don't think he deserves that kind of money.
$2 million contract. So.
Three for what?
10.2.
Okay. So, $3 million a season. It's, I don't think it's a great deal. He's not a good defenseman. But anyway. What are you going to do?
Not much we can do, but...
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of not great defensemen, but this one is at least a little more useful, Radko Gudas. So Radko Gudas is the guy that will fuck you up, and he looks like he's the guy that will fuck you up. and he is secure in the bag. He had a deep run with Florida, obviously made it to the Stanley Cup Finals. He gets a 3-year contract in Anaheim for $4 million a season. Maybe he's, you know, I see him as a guy they're bringing in to protect the younger guys.
Yeah, it's not a terrible idea.
And he's a vet, right? He's been to the Cup Final. So I think that's a decent ad for them. And they got lots of cap space, as far as I'm aware. Yeah. You can stop me anytime if you have anything to say about these guys or anything like that. But
don't you worry.
We got Tristan Jarry, Pittsburgh, 5 years, $5.375 million. Now, this one's tricky because Tristan Jarry, when healthy, is quite a good goalie, or at least pretty good. You know, good enough to get you at least into the playoffs, but. Yeah, the last few years he's had a lot of injuries, and that's a lot of term and a lot of money to give to a guy that you don't know. You know, it's, and I mean, you can put him on LTIR, you can do this and that, but it's just, I don't know. It seems like a lot
of hassle, but.
But you know what?
You need a goalie, and it's better to have a very good or decent goalie at least. Or above average.
You know what you got with him.
And yeah, you know what you're dealing with. You know the injury risk. And well, is it being a goaltender in the NHL, you always risk running injury anyways. So
very true. Very true.
Yeah.
next up, we have Milan Lucic back in Boston. 1 year, $1.5 million. Now, I don't know. I think I'm coming around on it. It's been, you know, 12 years. So yeah. I'm less upset about it. And also, He's not as good anymore, and that's okay.
Obviously. Although, if the Flames re-signed him for that, I would not have been mad. I would have been okay with.
Yeah. Lucic at 1 is not terrible.
No, he deserves, because of his experience and his all that stuff, he definitely deserves more than the minimum, that type of deal.
Oh, yeah.
So 1.5, 1 year, back in Boston. I know you, as a Canucks fan, you don't like Boston, but...
Or Lucic.
Fair. You've dealt with him a lot because...
So much.
He was with Boston, and then with L.A., and then with Edmonton, and then with
Calgary. Fucking get out of the Western Conference, motherfucker.
Well, he is, but so if you want to verse him a bunch again, you guys will have to face Boston next year in the Cup Finals.
No. My PTSD can't handle it. actually, that would be great if the Canucks could win against the Bruins. That would be insane. There'd be another riot, but it would be a happy one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we got Ryan Graves, defenseman, formerly New Jersey Devil. Now he is signed by Pittsburgh. As again, Pittsburgh has been busy with Kyle Dubas as the new president and interim GM. Well, and they got a win, right? They got a window, and it's closing quickly with Crosby, Malkin, Letang. So they got to do what they got to do. And Ryan Graves is a solid defenseman. I believe he's got a pretty solid, a pretty good offensive side to him as well. So definitely helpful in that sense. 6 years, $4.5 million is not bad. You know, it's a $20 million or $25 million, and yeah, good for him. Good for Pens.
Anyone else for the Pens? Because I think you keep jumping back and forth between some teams. This is the second time.
Well, I'm not necessarily jumping back and forth between teams. It's just how I listed them. It's
fair enough.
Yeah. I'm bouncing around because if you do that, then I have to go back and forth in my brain, and that won't work for me. So,
it's too difficult a task. I get it.
Yes, it really is. My ADHD can't handle it. Can't handle words. Can't handle anything. Anyway, moving on. Alex Killorn. Now, this one threw me off. Alex Killorn, I believe, has spent his entire career with the Tampa Bay Lightning, but no longer. They weren't able to re-sign him. They didn't have the cap space, so Killorn goes to Anaheim. 4 years, $6.25 million. Now, I mean, I don't know what Killorn at this age is worth $6.25 million, but Anaheim had the cap space. And
they're kind of making a statement.
What?
So they're kind of making a statement, the Ducks.
Yeah, they don't want to be as bad as they were last year.
No.
Before that. So good on them making some changes. I don't know how these older free agent signings will help them that much, but we'll see.
It's going to bring experience to the young guys and help grow them.
Yeah, maybe.
Length is a little long, though, in my mind, for both the guys that you mentioned.
4 and 3 for Gudas. Yeah. Carolina making a good pick. A Toronto team that could not afford to re-sign him somehow, even though they've made some wild signings.
Interesting ones, yep.
Yeah, so we got Michael Bunting signing a 3-year, $4.5 million deal in Carolina. And he adds good forechecking, good penalty kill, put up probably 4 season. He's got a little snarl too. Good pickup for Carolina. I don't know how
Toronto couldn't afford that based on their other signings.
Well, and maybe it wasn't necessarily a matter of affording, but they just wanted to make changes. Treliving wanting to put his own kind of touches on this team.
And I guess you usually see that type of stuff with new GMs. So.
Yes. We have. Where is it here? Matt Duchene. So Matt Duchene was bought out earlier by Nashville. He was getting paid, I think, $8 or $9 million a season. For at that price, Matt Duchene's a little pricey. However, Dallas then signed him at 1 year for $3 million. And Matt Duchene at $3 million is a steal. I really like this move for Dallas. I hate how good Dallas has gotten. I mean, I don't like, but I like the move for them. It's a smart, I think.
No, I agree there. Yes,
but as a team, as a fan of a team, is against them. Mm-hmm. Not a fan.
Not ideal for both of our fan bases.
No. Nope. Nope. No. Anyway, so
is popped into my head. We including us, but lots of people have kind of mocked the division that both the Flames and the Canucks play, and it's secretly getting a little better, and I kind of like it.
A little bit. Another team taking a chance on a guy. Max Pacioretty signs 1 year deal worth $2 million a season. Well, for 1 year, I guess it's a 1 year deal. he signs in with the Washington Capitals. Now, Pacioretty for $2 million sounds like a steal, and it very well could be. However, he has missed a lot of time to injury. I believe it was ACL. I could be wrong. Some other shit, but he has missed a lot of time, and this very well could be kind of a write-off. But if he's good, if he's up to his standards, then this is an insane deal for Washington.
Yeah, I think that's why the deal is so cheap.
Yeah, I think Washington was like, hey, we'll give you some cash, don't worry, but you know,
and yeah,
play with Ovi, like.
Yeah, definitely. That's not bad. A player like that at this point, until you know he's back to 100% and or as close to or whatever. Minimal re-injury risk. You don't want to give him more than 1 year, maybe 2 years tops.
Yeah. Well, and he's not getting any younger. But anyway, no, moving on, we got a few more players leaving Toronto. Luke Shen, buddy, bet on himself, and he got the payday. So he's played in Vancouver and Toronto on pretty close to league min deals, and the spotlight was on him, especially when he was in Toronto, and Nashville just liked what they saw. So they signed Luke Shen to a 3-year deal. 2.75 million per season, and good for him. Luke Shen's a guy.
That was the word that you almost said. I said, or miles. That was the word that you almost said.
So Luke Shen is a guy that I really like this guy. He had a bit of an unfortunate start to his career because when he first came into the league, big defenseman. And he still is a big defenseman, but when he came into the league, those guys were kind of going out of style. The league was getting much smaller, and he kind of had a trouble. Like, he stuck around in the league, obviously, but he had trouble really sticking as, you know, a solid NHL defenseman. And he's really come back into his own now. Good for him. Get that money and get the hell out of Toronto.
Yeah, because, yep.
Yeah, and that's all I got to say about that. Another player both leaving Toronto and going to Nashville, Ryan O'Reilly. So Ryan O'Reilly was a trade deadline pickup for the Leafs last year. He definitely helped them. I think they, you know, got that little extra push to get through to the second round this year. Not that it did them much good, but Ryan O'Reilly was, I think, open about not really wanting to stay in Toronto. And that's his right, man. Is, you know, his contract's up and he's a free agent. He can go where he wants. And Nashville's the place. 4 years, $4.5 million. I think that's not a bad deal at all.
Talk over you. I was just going to say that's probably the biggest loss for Toronto in my mind. I know they made some signings to kind of fill some of the holes and stuff, but they really need to keep O'Reilly.
Yeah, right. O'Reilly was definitely an important part of the team for sure. My only criticism, I think I'd maybe give him 3 years as well, like Luke Shen. I don't know. Ryan O'Reilly's not on the right side of 30. He's a solid player for sure. I don't know. But a couple years from now, who knows? Anyway, time will tell, right? Speaking of Toronto, we got Toronto has also been pretty busy. Guys going out, guys coming in. So first signing I want to talk about, and I really, really like it. I have like a couple of their signings.
Sorry, I had to do that.
They got Tyler Bertuzzi, 1 year, $5 million per season. And Tyler Bertuzzi, I don't know if you're paying attention or not, but the short time that the Bruins were in the playoffs this year, he was quite good. He's an excellent player. He adds scoring. He adds snarl. He adds, I would argue, he's the more effective Michael Bunting. Like, yep. If Michael Bunting got to his full potential, it would be Tyler Bertuzzi. And a great play for the Leafs there. It's only 1 year.
Able to get him for the 1 year when the rumors had him that he was looking for long term is kind of impressive.
Well, it honestly doesn't surprise me. A lot of guys are taking shorter deals because the salary cap is supposed to go up significantly within the next couple of years. Because that'll mean the escrow's paid off from COVID. Anyway, it's a long story short, but basically, mathematically, it almost has to. But anyway, so yeah, I really like this signing for Toronto. They also got Max Domi, 1 year, $3 million, and we got another Domi in Toronto. Obviously, his dad, Ty, played for the Leafs for years. Huge fan favorite. I can imagine the first game Domi plays, he's going to get a huge reaction from that crowd. I think so, at least. Bet you Ty will be there in attendance as well. but yeah, no, I really like that signing as well. And some more toughness. Now, this guy's more tough for the sake of tough instead of having any, which he really doesn't have a whole lot of, but that's not what he's there for. Ryan Reeves.
Yeah.
3.35 and million. And there's a lot of people on Twitter. There's a lot of people on Threads. There's a lot of people on, you know, Reddit being like, this is dumb. Analytically, he's bad. Blah, 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 blah. You know what? Toronto does not give a fuck at this point, because all these years, these had all these guys who have great analytics and great stats and this and that and other things. And guess how far they've gone?
Second round at best.
At best, one win. One win. Yeah. They've at best in the last like fucking 20 years, you know, have 5 wins in a playoff run.
Yeah.
You need 16. And part of that in the playoffs is it's being tough and being able to stand up for your guys and being able and this is, I've actually heard this. I was listening to, I don't know if you listened to it, but I was listening to Spit and Chicklets podcast. And, they were talking about Ryan Reeves, even ignoring his on ice contributions, off ice, he is what they call a glue guy. He brings everyone together. He is, and he even said it too in the interview or in the press conference. He's like, I'm the guy that's setting up parties. I'm the guy that's, you know, inviting everyone in. Like, you need guys like that. You need it. It's a team, right? And when you're all on the same page, you're all getting along, you're all having a fun time, like that's when you're going to do your best. So I really like this signing for Toronto. I think
Toronto needed to get tougher. They really did.
They needed to get tougher. And I think they need to get along better. I don't think, and this is the thing, I don't necessarily think the players hate each other or anything, but I think it's maybe a little clicky.
Come up for sure.
I think it's a little clicky there and there. I think it's the top end guys and the middle guys and the lower guys. You know, it's everyone needs to get together. You're a fucking team, right? But anyway, moving right along, we got another big signing here, Dmitry Orlov. So Dmitry Orlov got traded to Boston for their big run in the playoffs that ended in the first round. I sound familiar, Leafs fans? And
oh
So Orlov signs a 2-year deal in Carolina worth just shy of $8 million, clocking it at $7.75 million. This is a great player. It's a great defenseman, great offensive abilities, great defensive abilities. Any team would be lucky to have him. 2-year deal. Again, this is a guy who's taking a shorter deal because cap's going to go up. But almost $8 million for 2 years, not bad.
Pretty solid.
This one I like because this is kind of an interesting contract. So Connor Brown, for those of you who don't remember, which I don't blame you, it was almost 10 years ago. God damn it. But Connor Brown played junior with McDavid. And they had incredible chemistry. In fact, if I remember correctly, they were 1 and 2 in scoring in their prospective draft years, whatever. Anyway, so Connor Brown signs a 1-year deal in Edmonton. And it's a wild contract. because it's basically meant to circumvent the cap. So his salary is $775,000. However, he has a performance bonus.
God, I love these.
That brings it up to $4 million. Now, what is this performance bonus, you may ask? Is it some crazy, like 30, 40 goals, something like that? No. Nothing crazy like that. He has to play 10 games.
Well,
that's it.
I mean, to be fair, he is coming off the ACL tear, so that's a little bit more than.
Right. But. I don't know. It kind of seems like they're kind of getting around the cap there. It seems a little fishy to me. But I think this could be really interesting, and maybe, who knows, maybe it reignites their juniors' chemistry, and all of a sudden Connor Brown scores 60 goals. Who knows?
You definitely got to try him on McDavid's line. You'd be silly not to.
Oh, you have to. I think that was honestly, that was probably part of like them talking about signing him there. Was like, you're going to play with McDavid, at least for a bit. Like, we got to. Yeah.
Like, obviously, if he's not producing, you change things, but you got to start him there. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. If he's healthy and stuff. Yeah. So, Ottawa got a goalie. From the Kings, actually. Kings couldn't re-sign him, so Jonas Korpisalo goes to Ottawa on a 5-year deal for $4 million. I like this deal. Korpisalo is a solid goalie. He's shown that over the last few years. Ottawa is trending in the right direction. I really like what they're doing with their young guys. Brady Tkachuk, DeBrincat's on the way out, but I think you got Tkachuk, Stützle, Shabbat, you got there's a bunch of guys, Norris, Sanderson.
They're a young team, so we just have to be patient.
But they got a goalie for the next 5 years at least. So I like this move. Good this one is happened. Oh yeah. Well, it did. Yeah. So after Winnipeg bought out Blake Wheeler, he decided, I'm not done in the NHL. And he went all the way to the big city of New York and signed with the Rangers for 1 year at $800,000. Now, Blake Wheeler at his previous contract, which I believe was like $8 or $9 million, not good. Do not want that contract. Because Blake Wheeler's not that good anymore. Nope. However, Blake Wheeler at under $1 million, I'll take that.
Sign me up.
Every day of the week. Are you kidding me? Oh, he doesn't play defense. Who gives a fuck? You're paying him less than $1 million.
what's the million? Or what's the min? It's 750?
Probably, yeah. Like, it's just above league mint. Like, and Wheeler's still getting paid, right? He got bought out, so he still gets a lot.
Yeah, so he doesn't care.
He doesn't care, and he gets to go play for the Rangers, which is really cool. Original six team, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a big deal, and it's a little better than playing in fucking Winnipeg. No offense, Winnipeg, but actually all the offense, Winnipeg.
He'll still be a solid third or fourth line guy.
Oh, yeah, 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 100%. No, it's that's a great deal. That's a great deal. But
and hell, if he proves himself again when the cap goes up, then maybe he gets a little.
Yeah, he is also getting older. I think he's like 35, 34.
Fair.
Trying to. Oh, I think that you sent me, but my iPad's not working.
Well, it doesn't really matter. We have like 4 minutes left.
It's okay. Something in there I want to talk about, because we're talking about signings. Yes. So, the LA Kings, this is not a free agency signing, obviously. Well, it's a re-signing. They extended Andre Kopitar 2 years, $7 million per. Yeah. Solid deal. Andre Kopitar is one of those guys that has been consistently one of the best defensive forwards in the league since he got here. And he definitely gets overshadowed a lot by guys like Bergeron, which, fair, Bergeron is, they could honestly rename the Selke Award the Patrice Bergeron Award, because he personifies it. Kopitar.
We actually talked about that a few episodes ago.
We did. But Kopitar recently finished his 17th NHL season, which is crazy to me because I remember when he was a kid coming into the league. I mean, yeah. I was really a kid when he was coming into the league, but he was also a kid. But yeah, no, he's playing for the Kings. Both me as a Canucks fan and you as a Flames fan, we have more than enough experience of watching this guy pick apart our teams. And yeah. He's obviously not, you know, peak, like he's not the any stretch of the imagination, but you don't want to play against him. Good deal for them.
He's like what you mentioned, definitely a glue guy. Like, he's not like a tough guy like Reeves or whatever.
I also wouldn't want to fuck with Kopitar. He's a big dude. No.
But he's definitely a guy that you got to have on your or it's good to have on your team. So that's a great solid re-signing.
Yeah, and I have one more thing to add from this article because we've got a little bit of time here.
God.
All right, fine. I won't.
No, I'm kidding.
So we have I think we should start a new segment on the podcast called Tarasenko Watch, because I have heard he's going to Carolina. I've heard he's going to the Rangers. I mean, staying with the Rangers. I've heard he's going to after they trade to Brinkett. Apparently the Islanders are interested. Who fucking knows at this point? Now, this is pretty smart. Apparently, he could turn down a multi-year contract, $5.5 million annually from Carolina, which I don't blame him. I think he can get more than that. But I think he's just getting a good old-fashioned bidding war going, and he also recently switched agents. He's actually – Tarasenko's had three different agents in 3 years. So I don't know if that's a great look, but I don't know. Yeah, he might just go back to the KHL and make a bunch of money. Although I don't know if I'd want to now, but yeah, Tarasenko watch.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where he ends up for sure. Him in Ottawa, I don't like that. Well, I definitely do.
Don't like that.
but as a hockey fan, and I guess I don't mind Ottawa as a franchise or anything like that. But
you don't mind them.
It would definitely make them a lot quicker of a good team than. Because I expect them to be a great team in like 3 years. I think it would help speed up that process.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Is that all the.
That's it.
That's it. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, there's more nothing else for sure, but what?
I was just saying, I got nothing else to add. I'm sure there'll be some other news to talk about next week.
I hope so. Goes.
I hope so too. Because otherwise, it would be a very short podcast if we're just doing a CFL recap every time.
That is true.
But the part everyone's been waiting for is the end of the podcast. Everyone out there, you know what to do. But I'm going to say it anyways. Here it comes. Stay stoned, stay safe.
Bye.